Welcome, welcome, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. It is I, the maestro of the radio. Well, it's really not the radio, it's the internet. It's a podcast. But I just saw that David Gregory has a podcast. He does. Wolf Blitzer. Back in the green room here, I was watching CNN, and he advertised Gregory's podcast. So he's got a podcast. So I guess I'm like David Gregory. I think I'm more handsome, though, than Mr. Gregory. But anyways, how are you doing? We got big primaries today. Big primary. Normally, we would be talking about how after tonight, the race is over. We would. We'd normally be talking in both parties. Well, maybe not. Yeah, we would. I was going to say with the Democrats, no. But, yeah, when people bring up the fact that Hillary Clinton and Obama lasted another month or month and a half. So there's no reason. Listen, Crazy Bernie, the momentum, the votes, that they're not there. Okay, they're not there. And they're almost starting to sound like Ted Cruz when they're talking about seven states. They won eight states in a row. Bernie's going to get slaughtered tonight. Bernie's going to get slaughtered tonight. And he's going to continue to get slaughtered. See, I look at the popular vote. I know we don't have a straight democracy. I know. I hear it on every talk show. I hear it on every, from radio to the TV pundit. I get it. It's, well, we don't have a straight democracy. Wait up, Mark Levin. We don't have a straight democracy. Way down, way, way, institute. Okay, I get it. Okay, I get it. But I still go by the will of the people, all right? I, in some abstract way, still look at the popular vote. Even if it's just one more vote. Okay, even if it's just one teeny tiny popular vote more. I look at that and say, okay, will of the people. And right now, Hillary Clinton is basically in the same position that Donald Trump is. She has millions more votes than Bernie has. And after tonight, she's going to have millions more. She's probably going to win every state. She's probably going to win every state tonight, which should put her up another million or million and a half. And the same with Trump. Chances are he's going to win every state tonight, and chances are he's going to win them big, and chances are he'll probably go up another half a million to 800,000 on Ted Cruz, which will put Trump total at about 3 million, about 3 million more. It's almost getting to the point where the millions and millions. Remember I told you Glenn Beck and his little crew of retards were making fun of the fact that Trump exaggerates with the millions and the hundreds of delegates, and they were adding up millions represent and what hundreds of delegates represent. They're trying to make the argument that Trump is really not that much more ahead of popular votes and delegates than Ted Cruz. They were trying to make the point that the millions and millions is not accurate. Well, I hate to tell the crew of tards over at the Blaze, but after tonight, I would say 3 million is starting to get in the millions category. Okay? I'm just saying. Okay? Oh, God. Any other election time, any other primary, they would, this would be it. It'd be over. Be done. We broke it down, a week ago? Well, we break it down every week. We keep breaking it down. We want everybody to always be reminded. Some of these arguments, some of these theories, if you will, never get old. Okay? They never get old. And the place in time, say, four and a half years ago, give or take, when the primaries were going on, and the primaries that are happening now, basically, Santorum was already out. Going into this phase of the 2012 campaign, the primaries, and Santorum was out, and Newt Gingrich was limping along. And basically, after this Super Tuesday and Newt lost, it was over. It was done. The only person that was left was Ron Paul. That was it. I mean, that was it. And I've said it before, I'll say it again for the umpteenth time. Gingrich and Santorum could have played this game. They could have put Rand Paul in there, except Rand Paul was, I mean, he's still nutty. He's a wackadoodle. But if for good measure, you could have threw him into the pile. But let's stick him in the corner. Let's stick him in the little wackadoodle corner. Gingrich and Santorum could have done the same thing. Remember, we broke this down after Mitt finished it, all said and done. And I'm going to do some totals for you in a minute or two. But all said and done, remember, Romney racked 10 million popular votes. Trump's going to go past that. Trump's already almost past that. But all said and done, after everybody got out, and the last few states were pretty much uncontested, Romney clocked in 10 million popular votes. And if you add Santorum and Newt and Ron, you're pretty close to Romney's total. So at this point in 2012, Santorum and Newt could have easily said, "Oh, we're getting together. We're not getting out. We're getting together and we're going to force a contested convention. We're getting together. And if you look at our popular votes and you look at our delegate totals, only 100 or 200 separate us from Mitt. So that means, and if you throw Ron Paul in there, that means there's more people against the front runner than there are for the front runner. So we're going to take this all the way to the convention. I'm not going to go in these states, and Santorum's not going to go in those states, and we're going to save our resources. They could have done it. But they didn't. They didn't, because that's not what you do. Remember, you have rules, and then you have unwritten rules. Because if people play by the unwritten rules, the Ponzi scheme gets found out. It gets revealed. So nobody does that. Nobody does what Cruz and Kasich are doing. The unholy alliance. And that's really what it is. It's the unholy alliance. It's the unholy alliance. You have the one holy roller, Mr. Constitutional Conservative, with the most moderate Republican that there is. I mean, John Kasich is the most moderate Republican. I mean, he's basically Republican light. Okay? And in some circles, he would be considered a Democrat. So it is the unholy alliance. You have Mr. Strict Constitutionist. Mr. I am the most, I am a severe conservative. All right, you got Mr. Severe Conservative Ted Cruz teaming up with Mr. You want to talk about establishment. You can't get any more insider. Can't get any more establishment than a former congressman, a governor. I mean, this is a guy who's been in Washington and been involved in the system for what, 30 years, and that's Cruz's tag team partner. That's the unholy alliance. That's the unholy alliance. So Newt could have done that with Santorum. They could have done that. But it's the unwritten rules. And the unwritten rules are just as important as the written rules. And you follow the written rules, you have to follow the unwritten rules. And the unwritten rules state, when you're mathematically eliminated, it's over. When you're millions and millions of popular votes behind, it's over. Because ultimately, the person who is going to be the nominee cannot be millions and millions and millions of popular votes behind. You can't do it. It defies the concept of democracy. Okay? It completely defies the concept of democracy. Can't. You can't have somebody that the people have not voted for. You can't. And when you listen to the Never Trump people, or you listen to the Cruz bots or the Kasich, the food eaters, when you listen to them go, well, if you add the totals, if you add the votes of the people that haven't voted for Trump, there's more that don't want Trump than want Trump. But the argument doesn't hold water. And I've told you this because ultimately you can't mind meld all these people together. It doesn't work like that. It's never worked like that in any walk of life. You cannot meld certain things together and say, look, this is more popular. The sum of these five things are more popular than this. Can't do it. Can't do it. So when you listen to these people, the confused Tim Miller, and the unhealthy Katy Packer, Hot, Stewart, whatever her name is, it's always on the when you hear them talking about, you know, the people don't want Trump and we need to stop him. It's people. I mean, it's individuals. It's individuals who are saying that they know better. They know better. Those individuals know better than 9 million people. And their opinions, their thoughts, their ideas, their concepts are better than those 9 people. They are more valuable than those 9 million people. And that's what's amazing to me. It really is. That's what's amazing to me. It's these groups of people that talk about the establishment and the GOP having to stop Trump. Have to stop Trump for the good of the party. For the good of the party, they have to stop Trump. You know, a new Washington Post article by that Michael Gerson. This guy's got the Cayunes. Seriously, the guy's got the Cayunes bigger than watermelons. He really does. Because he's one of these never Trump people. Remember, the Washington Post, it's not news. It's an opinion paper. That's all it is. And he's one of these guys that talk about the RNC and the people involved in the RNC and why they have to stop Trump. And it's amazing because you're talking about a handful of people. You're talking about a group of guys and women. I'm not going to bore you with this article, okay? I'm not gonna bore you with this article because it's just how Trump is an a-hole and he has horrible approval rating. He's you know, racist. All of the, just the same stuff that we always have heard from Democrats. Okay, Democrats. If you turn on MSNBC, but the Never Trump, and the Cruz bots, they take up those talking points also. So, you know, they look at this, the unfavorable, look at this. He's going to have less vote. You know, again, everybody talks about what's going to happen 6 months from now. And I said this yesterday. I thought I said it eloquently. I really did. I thought yesterday I was eloquent in talking about hypotheticals and polls and how people want to take what's going on today as what will be 5 months from now or 6 months from now. Everybody wants to just skip over everything. You can't skip over everything in between, because without everything in between, you wouldn't have a President Reagan. You wouldn't have a President Bush. Hell, you wouldn't even have a President Clinton. Remember? The comeback kid. I mean, you wouldn't have these people if everybody from that point, if everybody from that said, oh, look at the unfavorables. Oh, look, he's underwater. Oh, look. So, again, the Washington Post, an opinion rag, just a cesspool of opinions from a bunch of I say they're know-nothings. That's what I say. They're know-nothings. I still wonder how all these people get, well, I don't, you know how they do it? I actually told my girlfriend, I said, you know, if I had the grapefruits, okay, if I had the grapefruits for drastic change, and I've had drastic change in my life, but I'm talking about real drastic change, the type of drastic change that you see on television in like an after school special or some romance comedy, something of that nature. If I had the real grapefruits, I would pack up everything I had and I would move to Washington, D.C. I would move to Washington, D.C. I'd go get a job at a restaurant, bussing tables or being a waiter. So I would do that during the day. And then at night, I would go to cocktail parties and get into the places where different reporters hang out in the bars, and I would schmooze and rub elbows and work my way up and get a job at the Hill or wherever, and then eventually make my way as a pundit on Fox News. And if I had the cajones, because I'm better than half of these morons that spew this crap in the Washington Post, or I'm a so-and-so pundit for this, and they go up there and they tar, and you're just like, what? What are you saying? It doesn't make sense. Well, if you look at the polls, the best person can beat Hillary is John Kasich. The guy that no one wants. Well, yeah. Just pretend we're not even talking about. Just pretend. Okay, just pretend the election's tomorrow. Just magically put yourself the day of the election. Kasich wins. Well, you can't do that, stupid. You can't do that. You got to have about 5 more months of him being interviewed, shoving things in his mouth, okay? You got to have 5 more months of him one-on-one against Hillary Clinton. And Hillary Clinton has all these proposals and all these ideas, and she's attacking the Republican Party and Kasich, and they go in a diner in Delaware to get his opinion, and he's shoving corned beef in his mouth. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Well, let me tell you about Hillary. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Okay, that's what you got to do. So, this know-nothing. And I do. I'll go to these people's bios or their Twitters, and it will, they graduated from this school with a journalism degree. They wrote a book, and now they're a writer for the Washington Post. An opinion. And I go, well, how does that, how? What just, how? How do they make money? What do they do? Washington Post, what does the Washington Post pay? Millions of dollars? Hundreds of thousands of dollars? To write a pin garbage piece? What? Their book that they wrote? Simon & Schuster paid them $12 trillion. Like, how? Who are these? What do they do? What is going on? So, this idiot, Michael Gerson, again, I'm not going to bore you with it, but it just, again, it's like the Never Trump people, the Cruz bots, the SE cups, the confused Tim Millers, the unhealthy Katie Packers. It's that attitude. The GOP has to do something. These groups of people have to do something. Not the people, like the voters. Not them. Not they have to reject. And not, listen, it's not just reject Donald Trump, but they have to pick someone. And that's the thing. That's the thing. You can play the whole, well, 60% of the Republican Party have rejected Trump. Okay, so who have they wanted? You can't just say, well, this percent rejected Donald Trump, so in turn, Donald Trump shouldn't be the nominee. So who have they picked? Well, some of them have picked Cruz. Okay, so the sum that picked Cruz, is it more than Trump? No. Okay, so guess what? Guess what? The people that like Cruz are not enough of the Trump. I mean, what don't you get? And what about the other? Well, the other percent have picked Marco Rubio. Yeah, but he's not in the race. Okay, yeah. Well, then they picked John Kasich. Okay, does his sum beat Donald Trump? No. Okay, so the percentage of people that don't want Donald Trump are picking somebody that isn't enough to beat Trump. There. End of story. End of story. End of story. It's over. It's over. Finished. The concept of putting that person and that person and that person together, and now that is more than the people have spoken. You have three flavors, vanilla, strawberry, and chocolate. More people picked vanilla than strawberry and chocolate. That's the will of the people. You don't put chocolate and strawberry together and say, well, however you want, whatever is more than vanilla. That doesn't work. I'm sorry. It just doesn't work like that. Okay? It doesn't work like that. And you can't start over. You can't throw everybody's vote out. And that's what these people want. That's what the Ben Shapiro's, the confused Tim Millers, that's what they want. They somehow want to throw out all the results of what's happened so far. Pretend it never happened. They want it to be like a Lost episode. They want it to be the season finale of Lost. They want it to be the sixth season of Dallas or whatever the season was where the brother, Gary Ewing, comes back to life and you realize that the season you just watched, that entire season was all a dream. It was all a dream. Everything that happened was a dream. So that entire year that you vested in Dallas and they advanced storylines and so forth and so on, it was all a dream. Now it's a big do-over. And that's what these people want. That's what these people want. They want to say, hey, 8.5 million after today, 9 million people that voted for Trump, 4 million that voted for Cruz, a couple million for... It's all a do-over. Here we go. That didn't count because we didn't like the outcome. We didn't like the outcome. It's like playing a video game. It's like playing PlayStation. And you're losing. And you just lean over and click it off. And you go, I'm just going to restart. And you turn it back on and go, all right, let's go. It doesn't work like that. So this Michael Gerson, I know. Let me give you the crux of it. So it's Trump's this, Trump's that. He's bad. He's Satan. Disapproval rating 70% among women. The highest overall disapproval rating recorded by Gallup since he began tracking this measure. Among voters 18 to 24, Trump loses to Hillary Clinton, who's notoriously weak among young voters, by 25 points. Another poll has Trump at 11% support among Latinos, the lowest support for Republican presidential candidates since polls began tracking Latino votes. So he goes through these polling numbers, which, again, mean nothing right now. They mean nothing. They mean nothing. They absolutely mean nothing. National polling numbers like this mean nothing, especially when you hit primary, and regardless if it's only 100 Latinos, like in Nevada, or it's many more, like in New York. But when Trump wins with certain groups, that polling numbers say he's losing with or he's going to lose with, it really makes people like this Gerson look even more stupid, because they're basing things that should happen off of poll numbers. And remember, all these poll numbers, depending on what one you want to take, seriously, I still will never forget a month, maybe 2 months ago. Maybe 2 months is too long, but I'll never forget NBC, Wall Street Journal poll that came out that had Ted Cruz nationally ahead of Donald Trump by, 3-4 points? Remember? You guys had 3-4, maybe it was even 5 points. That was the big story. Ted Cruz overtakes Donald Trump for the first time in a new national NBC Wall Street Journal poll. What does this mean? Does this spell doom for Yeah. So you could take whatever poll, literally. You could find some Emerson College poll that has Jeb Bush 2 points behind Donald Trump in New Hampshire. Listen, there was a couple polls that had Jeb Bush coming in second. And what happened? He got just destroyed. So when these dummies like Michael Gerson are going, wow, look, 12% here and 11% there and upside down on this demographic and upside down on this, and he's a misogynist and he's a race. I mean, this is a again, this is This is a Republican. This is somebody that's supposed to be part of us. So it ends, and this is what I wanted to bring up. So it says, in conclusion, GOP leaders such as Republican National Committee Chairman Rance Priebus are trying to pretend that this is a normal political moment in which the party should forget its disagreements and unite against the Democrat. We can't win, Rance says, unless we rally around whoever becomes our nominee. This is a dangerous delusion. Because if Trump is chosen in Cleveland, the Republican Party is headed toward electoral disaster all the way down the ticket. Many, if not most, Republican candidates at the state and local levels would need to run in revolt against their party's presidential pick. So there you have some. And again, all this is Republican establishment people. Your confused Tim Millers, individuals like that, playing this, you can't pick him, we know better, it will destroy the Republican Party from the top down. So basically, take the 10, 11 million people that voted for that candidate, throw their vote away, tell them to get lost, because we 100 or 200, that, because that's what you're talking about here. You're talking about 100 to 200, if that. 100 to 200, if that. Establishment, never Trump people that are saying, we know better. We knew better with John McCain. We knew better with Bob Dole. We knew better with Mitt Romney. We know better. That's what we do. We know better than all of you. So I will continue. It was under Priebus' leadership that the 2012 Republican autopsy was produced, a document calling for accelerated outreach to women, the young, and Latino voters. Trump represents the reversal of everything Priebus had planned for the Republican future. If Priebus ends up blessing the Trump nomination, the results would reach far beyond 2016. It would turn the sins of Trump into the sins of the GOP. And Priebus would go down as the head of the party who squandered the legacy of Lincoln, the legacy of Reagan, in a squalled and hopeless political effort. If Trump wins in Cleveland, Priebus should think beyond the current election and demonstrate the existence of a party better than its nominee. The head of the RNC should resign rather than be complicit at his party is defiled. So what is Michael Gerson saying? What is he saying? Basically, at the end of this process, when we get to the finish line, Rance Priebus and the few hundred head muckety mucks need to take all the results and basically say, thank you everyone for participating. Thank you everyone for handing over your money to states like New Hampshire and Iowa, you know, the states that nobody gives a crap about except every 4 and 8 years. Thank you for going there. Thank you for giving them money for their economy because they're holding these primaries. Thank you for everything you've done. Thank you. Some 20 million plus people for participating in this process. But guess what? We're doing it our way. We're doing it our way because you're all stupid. Okay? We're going to listen to the Michael Gersons, and we're going to listen to the confused Tim Millers and the unhealthy Katy Packers. Yes, 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 and the SC Cups. Yes, we are. And the Katy Pavlicks and the Mark Levins. We are going to basically pool all of that brain power together, and we will pick the nominee. We will pick the person that will run against the Democrats in the general election. So, good day, good night, goodbye. That's what they want. That's what they want. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's literally amazing. Especially every one of these groups, every one of these people I've mentioned had their own horse in the race. And the Republican voting electorate rejected them. So you have some of these people who were Rubio supporters. And Rubio was rejected by his own state. His own state. A sitting senator got rejected. And the people that supported Rubio, like an SC Cup, think that somehow all of that should have been erased. All of it should be gone now. And Rubio should get a do-over. The confused Tim Miller was a Jeb Bush guy. The confused Tim Miller is a Jeb Bush guy. Somehow, Jeb Bush should get a do-over. It's amazing to me. It's amazing. It really is. It's amazing. All of these people, the Michael Gersons and the Millers and the unhealthy Packers, Charles Cook, Lowry, all of the Ben Shapiro, they all, people like this were horrible, horrible children. They were horrible. They really were. People as adults that are engaged in a, I mean, think about the people like this that are engaged in a competition, that are engaged where it's, a popularity contest, if you really want to get down to it. People like this who are engaged in a popularity contest. So they have somebody that they like. They have somebody that they idolize. They have somebody that they worship. And they want other people to worship them and like them and love them. And they put them out front and they help promote them. And those people are rejected. They want a do-over. They want a do-over. And it's funny because these same people are running around the media calling Trump a whiner. They're the ones that are running around saying Trump is a crybaby. He's sitting here saying the process is rigged. Oh, he's such a whiner. He's a whiner? He's pointing something out that is flawed. He's pointing out something that needs to be fixed. Very simple. He's pointing out something that is being done that has never been done before. Remember, the unwritten rules. It's the Tim Millers and the Katie Packers and the Ben Shapiros. It's these morons. It's these horrible, horrible children. It's these people that are being little, just horrible. I mean, just the worst kids in the world. It's these ones. It's these people that are saying, do over. I don't like the fact that I'm losing right now, so I'm going to unplug the video game. Because they're the ones that are saying, forget that the system is rigged. Forget complaining about the system. They're the ones that are saying, we don't like the outcome. We don't like the outcome. So what we want to do is have a do-over. That's the biggest whiner. That's the biggest baby. That's the biggest adolescent Michael Gerson talking about Rance Priebus. And he should quit. The party should be ashamed of them. Like, what are they supposed to do? If you have a game and everybody's playing the game, yes, you have it rigged. You put obstacles up. It's very much like those summer camp movies or those Adam Sandler ones where it's supposed to complete a task. It's supposed to complete an obstacle course. And the people that are playing the heel are the ones that are trying to make it impossible for the gods to complete the task. So they deflate the tires of the car. They do everything they can to make good guys not be able to complete the task, not be able to complete the treasure hunt, not be able to complete the scavenger hunt, not be able to win. So that's what the Republican Party, that's what the establishment, that's what the GOP, that's what the Rance Priebuses are doing. But they can't unplug the game. They could get up and get a glass of water and stop in front of the TV and go, oh, would you like anything? And you're like, get out of the way. Get, oh, man. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I block your view? Oh, did you just lose a life? Oh, are you down to two? Oh, sorry. Yeah, okay. They could, but you can't just walk up to the game and unplug it and go, oops, looks like we got to start over. Can't do that. You can't. Well, I guess you can. I guess you can. I guess you can do that. Talk about destroying the party of Lincoln and Reagan, Mr. Gerson. You want to talk about damaging a party, possibly to the point of no repair? Sure, do a do-over. Yeah, go ahead. Do a do-over. Go ahead. Do a do-over. But it's insane. It really is insane. to listen to these people. They really are insane. They're insane. They're absolutely insane. When you hear them talking about they have to stop Trump. They have to stop him. Talking about individual people. That's not democracy. That's not the United States. This is talk that you would hear from Russians and the Chinese. This is stuff that happens in these repressed countries and dictatorships. We must stop. We have to stop. The five people in this room? What do you get? Well, what we're going to do is, see, if I had a Russian accent or a Bulgarian accent, I would talk like that, but I don't. I'm not Rich Little over here. But we've got to take once they voted and just throw away all the ballots, just all the boxes, all the machines, every vote that was cast. We just got to get rid of them. We just got to throw them away. And say they got lost. It's a do-over. Or we just say this is who won. And if someone wants to count them, we kill them. I mean, that's where we are. That's where we are. When you have confused Tim Miller, unhealthy Katie Packer, know nothing, Gerson, when you have them saying, we have to stop Donald Trump. Rance Priebus has to stop Donald Trump. The GOP has to stop Donald Trump. When you have people like T.T. Robinson saying, I'm ashamed to be a Republican, or George Will saying, the GOP needs new rules for picking its nominee. All these people are upset that the voters have spoken. They are so upset that the concept of democracy is not picking the person that they, the opinion writer for the Washington Post, or a pundit on TV says they want. They're upset. So guess what? Got to change how something is done. Think about it. George Will is saying, because of this Trump thing, we need to change how we pick our nominee. You need to change how you don't like who the people picked. You, yourself, don't approve of who the people picked. You know, again, it's like a parent who doesn't like the guy that their daughter is dating. Or vice versa, in the sense of a parent not liking who their son is dating, or the parent that doesn't like the son that's gay. You know, you would think if anybody, the Tim Millers would be able to identify with this. Where it's somebody or a group of people don't like who you are, or the choices you have made with a boyfriend, a girlfriend. And they want you to stop. They want you to change. They want you to pick someone else. And it's this constant battle. And ultimately, the person who doesn't want you to be a certain way or to pick something always loses. The parent always loses when they say to the daughter or the son, "I forbid you." Always lose. They always lose. Or the parent that says, "We're going to put you into therapy to pray away the gay." And that's what these GOP elites are doing. The George Wills. They're saying, "Well, you know what? We don't like who the people in our party picked. We don't, so we've got to change that. We know what's better, and we got to change that. We got it. We just got to change it." Think about Tim Miller, Mr. Gay Republican, Mr. "I'm gay and I'm part of a party where 70% of the leadership and hell, more than 50% of the voters despise me." And the guy that's behind the front runner does campaigns with a pastor that says, "I should die. I should be put to death." If anyone should know the whole concept of, "Well, that's not good. I know better. You're wrong." If anybody should know that concept is confused Tim Miller. He should know. And yet him and Will and Gerson and Essie Kopp and Dana LaDeutsch, all these people are saying, "We have to stop Trump. We have to stop Trump." I've never once heard any of them say, "Well, the people have spoken." They've never said that. The only time they say that is in reverse, which is the majority of the people have spoken and they don't want Trump. They don't say the people have spoken and they want Trump. They say the majority of people spoke and they don't want Trump. And then you say to them, "So who do they want?" And they can't answer that. They can't answer that. They can't answer that. That's what's funny. They can't answer it. He say, "Okay. All right, Tim Miller, you're for Jeb. So did the people speak for Jeb?" "No." "Okay. So they spoke for Trump." "Did the people speak for Marco Rubio, SC?" "Okay. No, they spoke for Trump." You could go down the list. And now we have three people: Kasich, Cruz, and Trump. And you could go to those people and say, "So have the people spoke for Kasich? Have the people spoke for Kasich?" And they're going to say, "No." "Okay, they spoke for Trump." "Have the people spoke for Ted Cruz?" "No." "Okay, they voted and spoke for Trump." It's amazing. It really is. It's amazing. Seen this article last night. I was just so upset. I was just so upset between Gerson and T.T. Robinson and George Will. Just, they infuriated me. Seriously, infuriated me.